If you've been watching my videos for a while, you might have heard me mention this video a few times, I think as far back as 6 months ago even. I've been meaning to make it for a while because, and this is what I said in those videos, prepositions are crazy. They can mean anything. They're like wild cards. But then something weird happened. I started to research prepositions for this video just to see what's going on. I mean, why are they so confusing? I noticed most websites and books go on and on for pages about the technical aspects of prepositions, different functions, as adjectives or adverbs, different uses of location, movement, orientation, destination, typical grammar book stuff. But then you know what I noticed? First, all those uses are basically the same. Location and orientation, the same. Origin and destination, aren't those locations? Same. And more importantly, the second thing I noticed, in Spanish, they use prepositions exactly like we do 80 to 90% of the time. Seriously. So if they use prepositions just like we do 80 to 90% of the time, why do they seem so crazy? Well, the cable news channels don't issue a special alert every time an airplane lands safely, do they? No, they only report when an airplane crashes. We do the same with prepositions. We get all freaked out whenever we see prepositions used in a weird way, but don't notice all the times they're used exactly how we use them in English, which is most of the time. In this video, I'm gonna show you 22 of the most common prepositions and their simple textbook definitions. If you learn these 22 prepositions, you'll understand perfectly 80 to 90% of the prepositions you encounter. And that's not just some made-up number. I tested this with a real newspaper article in Spanish. I highlighted every single preposition. Between the headlines and the first two paragraphs, there were 62 prepositions. 88% of them were straight from the list of prepositions I'm gonna give you in this video. And I didn't teach to the test either. In fact, only 11 of the prepositions from the list I'm giving you were in that article, and this list wouldn't have covered you the other 11% of the time, but context probably would have. Bottom line, even though there are about 150 prepositions out there, pick any article in Spanish you want, and you'll see the 22 prepositions in this video cover you 80 to 90% of the time. Who cares about 13 functions and 17 million uses? You're about to see the true story, of how prepositions work. Hola, soy Jordan, and this is a Spanish quickie. Fast, easy Spanish lessons from somebody who speaks your language. Before we get started, I want to tell you where this video fits into the grand scheme of things. This video is the first in a series of three videos I'm gonna do on prepositions. Most of the confusion comes from por, para, and when prepositions follow verbs. So the next video is por versus para, and the video after that is prepositions with verbs. This video is all about the most common prepositions used in the most common ways. Because as I said before, most of the time, if you know the vocab, prepositions work exactly like they do in English. So to master prepositions, your first task is to learn the vocab. Start with the 22 prepositions in this video and on the word list below or in the description. Let's do this. We'll start with the simplest ones, prepositions that only have one textbook definition, then get more and more complicated, but nothing's crazy hard. The word con means with. It doesn't get simpler than that. I am with my brother would be estoy con mi hermano. The opposite of con is sin. Sin means without. I want a sandwich without mustard would be quiero un sandwich sin mostaza. I hate mustard. Anytime you see con, you know it means with. Anytime you see sin, you know it means without. Another preposition that looks like con is contra. Contra means against. The chair is against the wall would be la silla está contra la pared. Do you remember the Iran-Contra affair from the news in the 80s? I think it involved the US selling weapons to Iran for money to give to the Contras in Nicaragua who fought against the Sandinistas, the communist government there at the time, and again now actually. Also, there was the Nintendo game Contra, a war or soldier game, so Contra just meant against, I guess? Contra means against. Another common preposition is durante. Durante means during. What are you going to do during vacation could be ¿qué vas a hacer durante las vacaciones? We say during, they say durante. Now, I started with con, sin, and contra because they're three of the simplest prepositions. Very rarely do they mean anything other than with, without, and against, respectively. But, and if you saw the video called How Words Work, this will come as no surprise, some prepositions in Spanish have multiple meanings in English, or multiple ways to be used. Because words don't mean words, remember, they stand for ideas. Take durante, for example. Durante does mean during. There are commercials during the television program, could be, hay anuncios durante el programa de televisión. And most of the time, the best way to translate durante is with during. But durante also commonly means for, as in for an amount of time. I am here for 2 weeks could be said in Spanish, estoy aquí durante dos semanas. See how we say for, but they say durante? If you think about it, it's kind of the same idea. When we say for like this in English, we're talking about a duration of time. This one's not hard to get used to. Can you say for here with por or para? Yeah, you can, but that's the next video. Next up is a. The textbook definition of a is to, like T-O. I give the money to my friend could be said, doy el dinero a mi amigo. You'll often see a used with ir. I'm going to the store, voy a la tienda. A usually means to, but it can mean a million different things. But when a doesn't mean to, the context will almost always make very clear what it does mean. The preposition de has two textbook definitions, of and from. So I am from Florida would be soy de Florida. Then a glass of water would be un vaso de agua. Notice de clearly means from in the first example, but of in the second. De can also be used to show possession, but when that happens, it's not really an additional definition. Take a look. My brother's book could be el libro de mi hermano. When you translate that directly, it's the book of my brother, but that means my brother's book, right? This is just a very common way they talk in Spanish, using de for possession. Once you see it a few times, you won't even notice it anymore. So de means of or from, but desde can also mean from. I come from the United States could be said vengo de los Estados Unidos or vengo desde los Estados Unidos. Estados Unidos is hard to say. Desde and de aren't always interchangeable though. Desde usually implies some kind of motion. So desde works in the example I come from the United States because that implies I'm in some foreign country and my journey started in the United States. The motion was me traveling. But I am from Florida. I wouldn't say soy desde Florida for that. I guess because there's no motion. I'm just from Florida. It's where I live. Soy de Florida. So desde can mean from, but it can also mean since. I'm here since April could be said estoy aquí desde abril. De means of or from. Desde means from or since. Entre is next. Entre means between or among. So there is nothing between us could be said no hay nada entre nosotros. Who among us could be asked quién entre nosotros. Entre is commonly used as between or among, which are very similar ideas when you think about it. Sobre is an interesting word. When it's a noun, el sobre means envelope. But right now, we only care when it's used as a preposition. And when it's used as a preposition, sobre means over, above, on top, or on top of. All very similar words. But it also means about, like about a subject. So the plane flies over New York could be said, el avión vuela sobre Nueva York. The book is on the table could be said, el libro está sobre la mesa. The book is about New York could be said, el libro es sobre Nueva York. So sobre is being used as over or above in the first sentence, as on or on top of in the second, then about as in about a subject in the third. Pretty crazy, I know, but if you memorize that sobre means all those things well enough, it'll be ingrained in your mind and this really won't give you much of a problem. N is a bit crazy, but pretty simple once you understand what's going on. N has four textbook definitions. N can, and commonly does, mean in, on, at, and into. She is in her house. Ella está en su casa. The dog is on the floor. El perro está en el suelo. We are at the museum. Estamos en el museo. Notice en is being used for in the first sentence, on in the second, then at in the third, and it means into also. So when you see the word en in Spanish, you have to use the context to figure out if they mean in, on, at, or into, but it'll almost always be clear. Then when you want to say in, on, at, or into in Spanish, just say en every time. We're actually pretty lucky with en. This is much easier for us than it is for Spanish speakers. Anytime we'd say in, on, at, or into, we just use en every time. Whenever they'd say en normally, they have to choose between in, on, at, or into. Moving on. Here are some pretty simple ones, but they're multiple words. I think these are called compound prepositions, like compound words. Antes de means before, and después de means after. Once you memorize these words with the de, they're really easy to use. So before the party would be antes de la fiesta. After the party would be después de la fiesta. Pretty simple, no? Antes de is before, and después de is after. And there are tons of compound prepositions that work like that. A word followed by de. Debajo de is under. The dog is under the table could be el perro está debajo de la mesa. Then dentro de is inside or inside of. The gift is inside the box could be el regalo está dentro de la caja. And the gift is inside the box is the same thing as the gift is inside of the box. That's why dentro de means inside or inside of. Encima de means on top or on top of. And again, on top and on top of really are the same thing. The book is on top of the table could be el libro está encima de la mesa. Cerca de is another real common one. That means close to or near or around. Those are real common textbook definitions that all basically mean the same thing. I am close to the house. Estoy cerca de la casa. I am near the house. Estoy cerca de la casa. I'm around the house. Estoy cerca de la casa. One that I really like for some reason is alrededor de. That means around, like around a lake. I'm going to walk around the lake would be voy a caminar alrededor del lago. Notice del there, that's a contraction of de plus el to form del. I made a video about that, check it out if that's not familiar. And now our first three-parter, a través de. That means through, as in going from one end to another. We travel through Georgia when we go to Ohio could be viajamos a través de Georgia cuando vamos a Ohio. That example has two prepositions actually. A través de is clearly through from one side of Georgia to the other, then a is to, as in to Ohio. Okay, last one, then we're gonna compare some of these. Acerca de means about, like about a subject. Don't confuse this with cerca de, which means close to, nearby, or around. This is acerca de with an A at the beginning. It means about, like about a subject. The book is about New York, could be said, el libro es acerca de Nueva York. Acerca de means about. Okay, that's all the prepositions for this lesson. Let's compare and contrast them now. I just told you acerca de means about, like about a subject. But earlier, I told you sobre can mean about. The truth is, both of them can mean about in this way. El libro es sobre Nueva York. The book is about New York. That's the same thing as el libro es acerca de Nueva York. In this context, sobre and acerca de both mean about. And actually, de can be used there too. El libro es de Nueva York. The book is of New York. But in context, it would usually mean the book is about New York. I guess that could also mean the book is from New York, like it was published in New York or originated in New York, but 9 times out of 10, that would mean the book is about New York. So about, as in about a subject, can be said with de, sobre, or acerca de. You can just pick one and use it every time, but recognize them all when reading or listening to other people. Now, earlier I told you en can mean on, so the book is on the table can be said el libro está en la mesa. But then I told you sobre could mean on or on top of. So el libro está sobre la mesa also means the book is on the table. Given the right context, both en and sobre can mean on. But encima de works here too. Remember that means on top or on top of? So el libro está encima de la mesa might mean more the book is on top of the table, but the sentiment is the same in this case. The image it puts in your head is the same. The book is on the table. Bottom line, en means more on, sobre means more above, and encima de means more on top of, but they can all be used to say the book is on the table. They really are interchangeable here, but they're not always interchangeable. Earlier, I gave the example, the airplane flies over New York. El avión vuela sobre Nueva York. You wouldn't want to use en there because el avión vuela en Nueva York. That means more in or on New York, which isn't what we're trying to say when we say fly over New York. Over in this case implies we can look down and see New York. In New York kind of just implies we're technically in the state or city of New York. Subtle difference. Encima de doesn't work great here either. that really does mean more on top of, so it's just not how we would talk. Would you say the plane flies on top of New York? No, so don't say it in Spanish either. En is more on, sobre is more above or over, and encima de is more on top or on top of, even though there is some major overlap sometimes. Okay, last thing. Since en can mean in and dentro de means inside or inside of, they're sometimes interchangeable, just like they would be in English. The book is in the house. El libro está en la casa. But el libro está dentro de la casa works there too, because the sentiment is the same. It puts the same picture in your head. And that's it. Here's what I want you to do next. Download the free bonus video below and watch it. In that video, you'll see me go through the Spanish newspaper article I mentioned earlier, focusing mainly on the prepositions. You'll see that with just the 22 words you learned in this video, you'll be able to understand prepositions no problem 80 to 90% of the time. When you're done with the bonus video, download the word list and make flashcards for every word on that list, then memorize them using the flashcard strategy. To really nail this, you should make two sets of flashcards, one from Spanish to English and another from English to Spanish. Do the Spanish to English ones first. Just follow the word list. It's divided into two sections also. I made this super easy to make your flashcards correctly. If you're not already subscribed to the Gringo Español newsletter, you should do that. Subscribers get access to videos and discounts I don't post publicly. Go to gringoespanol.com/free-updates. And don't miss the next video dedicated 100% to Por versus Para, the most requested video in the history of Gringo Español. And the one after that is important too, prepositions with verbs. Between these three videos, you'll either understand every preposition you encounter or be able to figure out why you're confused and what's going on. I'll see you next time. Hasta luego. Adios, amigo.